The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
People who were listening to the show earlier in the week will remember that Natasha O'Brien was with me. This was ahead of the sentencing appeal hearing that happened yesterday. So Cathal Crotty had originally been sentenced, the former soldier, to 3 years in prison with all of it suspended after he assaulted Natasha and knocked her completely unconscious in Limerick City. The DPP appealed the leniency of that sentence. That appeal was heard yesterday and Cathal Crotty was sent to prison for 2 years. And Natasha is back with me now. Natasha, listen, thank you so much for joining us. It was, you know, obvious earlier in the week how difficult all of this is, and I'm sure yesterday was a difficult day as well.
Hi, Kieran, how are you? Thank you so much for having me back again. It's a pleasure to be back, but devastated I couldn't meet you today over the storm. But anyway, I'm sure I'll meet you again sometime. But yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, listen, no, we really do appreciate it. So, I mean, what's the overall feeling today? Is it one of kind of vindication, of relief, still of some sadness? What is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, yesterday was just a total shock to me, you know, and I just, the sentence was very, very overwhelming. I left the courtroom yesterday just with a whole mix of emotions. I was very, very emotional. I was crying and, you know, because I suppose when we spoke earlier this week, I had no faith, you know, I had no faith. And I walking in yesterday morning, I wasn't expecting anything to happen at all. I was just expecting the appeal to be declined and that be it, you know. But so it was a total shock to hear the judges really, really take into account the pain, the suffering, the trauma that I endured and not overlook that. So that was, you know, I spoke a little bit yesterday to some media and I just kind of said that, you know, I felt so seen and heard for the first time in an Irish court, Kieran.
So what comments in particular from Justice Kennedy kind of stood out for you or you know, were most impactful from your point of view?
Well, first of all, when I went back into the courtroom at 3 p.m. yesterday to hear the judge's decision, Justice Kennedy said that the sentencing judge back in June had given undue weight to the mitigating factors in the case, such as his job and the forces. And, you know, she spoke about how it was just given far too much consideration and it wasn't reflecting. There was no reflection of the weight of the crimes. You know, the sentence just did not reflect that and did not deal with the crime that had been committed. So, you know, that was incredible. And I just have a quote here, I'm just reading it. But she said also, and it was really, really amazing to hear because, you know, the last 6 months I've been campaigning and, you know, trying to talk as much as I can and share my experience and share all my thoughts and opinions on what's so wrong with the system. And to hear that really, really acknowledged, it was I can't describe it. You know, Miss Justice Kennedy said that, you know, people should be entitled to walk the streets at night without fear, whether alone or in company of others. And she said that attacks on males and females were far too common and it was necessary that they be punished in an appropriate manner to communicate society's deprecation of such conduct and to deter others from behaving in a similar manner. And she really said that, she said the judge really failed to impose a sentence which would do that. And I think I've spoken a lot, I've spoken out a lot about sentences, and we need sentences to be a deterrent to society for violence. We need a sentence to, you know, deter any individual from, you know, partaking in violence. And if we are constantly enabling it, and you know, we see suspended sentence day after day, and just it's not sending that message. It's waving a green flag. It's enabling it. And it's not, there's no reason why you wouldn't raise your hands to someone when there's no true consequence, you know. So it was really, you know, they took it really seriously that there was consequences needed. And, you know, just it was, and, you know, there were so many different aspects yesterday that I just felt totally overlooked in the court 6 months ago. I mean, from, you know, having a concussion and having to go and get a brain scan for a brain bleed. And, you know, I was suffering from a severe concussion for about 3 months, and that wasn't even mentioned 6 months ago. But, you know, they put a lot of gravity on that, on the psychological and physical effects and of the victim yesterday. And you know, they were really putting so much emphasis on the effects of the victim. And I felt for the first time that in an Irish court that it was actually a victim centred hearing, and instead of just, you know, focusing on the job and whatnot of the accused. So it was really important and impactful to really hear that. You know, and she also mentioned, which was something that really frustrated me in the sentencing 6 months ago, Justice Kennedy also spoke about how, you know, when confronted by CCTV evidence after initially, you know, he only pleaded guilty when confronted by CCTV evidence after initially claiming I had instigated the attack. And that wasn't really, there was no gravity given to that in the initial sentence either. And I just thought, you know, I understand that a guilty plea is definitely a mitigating circumstance, and you do have to give way to a guilty plea because it is important, you know, because we do need guilty pleas. It makes the process a lot easier. And so, of course, if the headline sentence the maximum sentence for a Section 3 assault would have been 5 years. So at the time, back 6 months ago, the Judge O'Donnell's gave a headline sentence of 4 years, because obviously he had to take the mitigating factors of the guilty plea into account and reduce that sentence by a year. And that was totally acceptable. And that was both, the DPP spoke about how they agree with the headline of 4 years. However, they don't agree with the wholly suspended 3 years. And that was the, you know, the piece there, that a fully suspended sentence does not act as a form of public deterrence to violence. And the courts must set a precedent. They must send a message that we must deter violence. We must have a zero tolerance policy to all violence, you know. And so I think this was acknowledged and dealt with yesterday, I think.
Yeah, listen, I thought it was really just, you know, from just a general point of view, there's a lot of people out there and they're very quick to comment on sentencing one way or the other and what goes on in the courts without really understanding it. And I think people should go and actually read what the Justice Kennedy had to say, because I think she explained it really well, the point of sentencing, or what kind of is factored in terms of, you know, mitigation, but also, you know, the need for punishment, the need for rehabilitation as well, because, you know, the point is we want the likes of Cathal Crotty, when they come out of prison, not to do this again. But also that kind of wider message of a deterrent.
Yes.
That other people. So I thought it was a kind of a public service kind of a judgment to a degree that she delivered in the court, and people would do well to read it if they want to understand
Absolutely.
The justice system a little better. From your point of view, Natasha, you know, all of the kind of advocating you've done over the last year on behalf of victims, I guess, had this hanging over at this appeal. Now, it wasn't an appeal against the sentence, so, you know, it wasn't like he was appealing. It was an appeal against the leniency. At the same time, it's kind of an open wound then, to a degree, that the thing isn't finalised. How important is it that that's done now?
It's just, I mean, yesterday was just, I was a total ball of emotions, and I just didn't know how I felt. There's a part of me, because there's the logical, and, you know, I faced an attack, a sinister attack that I did not deserve in any capacity, and those actions were totally, you know, they deserved consequence. We must set a precedent in our courts that we don't accept violence. It's still the emotional side of me. It was really, really hard, Kieran, to see a young man be taken away. It's really difficult, because there's, you know.
Were you surprised how emotional you were at that?
I was very surprised. I was surprised because, you know, I'd fought for my justice and I deserve it. And, you know, I think it's such a pub. This is such a public, and this has been so public that this is almost a, this is justice for so many victims and survivors that haven't had the strength and courage to come forward. And, you know, and I've had so many wonderful messages of support over the last 6 months, encouraging me to keep fighting and don't give up. And, you know, I like messages like, you know, I just don't have the strength, and I cannot, I just don't have the strength to go through the system. I'm not able to report it. So thank you so much for doing this, and please don't stop. And so, you know, it was so important on a, you know, a nationwide level that, you know, this justice be delivered. But on a personal emotional level, it was, it still wasn't easy to see, you know. It still felt difficult, and I wasn't expecting to feel so affected, and, you know, it was hard to see that and the family. And, you know, and, you know, this is the consequence of violent actions, and it must be, but it doesn't mean it's not hard to see a human.
Yeah, to see someone's like, I don't want to exaggerate. His life's not necessarily ruined, but it certainly has taken a serious dent. And the empathetic part in any of us, I guess, you know, even somebody like you who's been the victim of a crime committed by him would look at it and think, oh.
Yeah, I really did feel this overwhelming sense of guilt sitting in that, you know, leaving that courtroom. I really did. And I can't explain it, but I really felt guilt. It didn't feel like a win, you know. And even though, you know, I've had some time to reflect, and that's why I just kind of spoke to a little bit of media outside the court, and then I just took the evening to myself, to give myself some time to reflect and figure out how do I feel about this. But walking away, it did not feel like a win at all. It felt like, oh, this is a sad day. This is, you know, it felt heartbreaking to a degree. It felt, you know, I've been seen, I've been heard. This is all I have wanted and deserved. And this is all victims deserve. We need a system that's victim centred, that focuses on the victim first. And that happened yesterday. But it still didn't feel like a win, because there was such a, you know, there is going to be such an impact to that life now.
But it's a kind of nature of trauma. It's kind of complex, isn't it?
It's so complex. You know, trauma is so, so complex. You know, and obviously dealing with my own trauma from the attack, you know, I went through a multitude of emotions, and some of those were feelings of guilt and responsibility, and, you know, that I had brought it on myself and I had caused it, and it was my fault that I spoke. You know, if I had just kept my head down and minded my own business, it wouldn't have happened to me. And so, you know, and as a woman that has been outspoken just in my own life, and, you know, I'm very, very chatty and talkative, and I'm very opinionated, and I always have been. So I felt, oh, I brought this on myself, you know, someone who would mind their own business, it wouldn't happen to them. But then to the same degree, you know, the justice did acknowledge that I had politely intervened in a serious homophobic verbal assault. And that was very, very important, you know, to acknowledge that I was a member of society that was coming to the aid of another member of society. And then she also acknowledged that if it hadn't been for the Good Samaritan that had come to my aid and pulled him off me because I was unconscious and he was still hitting me, you know, how serious and much more serious the consequences and could have been, and the ramifications and what it could have actually led to. And, you know, we all know where that can lead. And we've seen an increase in horrific violence and fatalities, you know. So that was the point. So I think, you know, as much as there's a part of me that did blame myself for a long time, there's also a part of me that knows I did the right thing. I know it was the right thing to help that person, to ask those boys not to be attacking him.
Rational mind can know something, but kind of the emotional side of your brain can reject it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you feel it safer now than you did in the wake of the attack walking the streets? Or is that still just, you know, a problem that's kind of no nearer solving, that level of kind of violence?
Look, there's so many ways that we do need to address and combat violence, and that's, you know, we need much more education from a young age on, you know, all on. And I think a part of that is more emotional regulation and more encouragement of self-expression for youths, because I think in a way violence comes from repression, and violence comes from, you know, feeling, you know, bottling everything up and never learning how to deal with emotions. And so when you bottle everything up, it will explode, and sometimes it explodes and becomes violence, because if we're not given tools to deal with all our emotions as the human beings that we are, then we might end up expressing them in very unhealthy ways that have serious consequences for our lives, like a 2-year sentence. You know, that's serious. And, you know, we do need to encourage each other to express our emotions healthily. And we need to do that and provide our youth with the correct education on that from a young age, and give them the tools and resources, and whether that's in schools or whatever, you know, it's very important. But I do think, look, I think the society that we have right now, we know there's violence. We know, we see it all the time, you know. But my hope is, and my belief is, that yesterday's decision and yesterday's sentence and the reasons and the emphasis on all the reasons given for the sentence, such as public deterrence, such as how a job of a perpetrator is not an important factor to consider, because that's, you know, if they lose their job, well, that's a consequence of their actions. So be it, you know, and that it should not be considered in a sentence. And I know there's a degree there for, you know, maybe there's a little bit of weight to give to a job if the perpetrator does have, you know, dependents on them. So if they were to lose their job, innocent dependents might be affected. But, you know, and so to a degree, you can maybe have, this can be a mitigating factor. And that's what the judges did say yesterday, that it can be sometimes, and it's all unique, but in cases like this, no, certainly not. And that's important too. And so I think what my hope is here, that this, the courts have sent a message that, you know, we must address violence. We must not enable it. We must not excuse it. We must not show an undue mercy. We must deal with the crime at hand and deal with the trauma and effects caused to that victim that was suffered this, you know, violence. And so, you know, I think yesterday did reflect that we are moving towards, a better society, maybe, that, yeah, you know, hopefully this is a message, and hopefully this is a message too, and a lesson that, you know, okay, that's really serious. That's a serious sentence for an assault. Wow, okay. And it might be that deterrent that I have begged for courts to listen to me. And, you know, I mean, in my victim impact statement in June, the last line of my victim impact statement, and the reason I went in to give one, was because I was fed up myself of all these lenient sentences and the constant acceptance of the amount of horrific crimes that I'm constantly seeing and hearing about in the news, and it's how it's just not really being addressed. And the victim is just like left, just totally, their life is not valued. Their life isn't given any worth in courts. A lot of the time that's how I felt. So I went into court and I said, this is my opportunity to beg this judge to take this type of a crime seriously, and to not enable it, and to send a message that it's not acceptable. And so in my victim impact statement, I said, Your Honour, I am not here to seek justice for myself. I am here to ask you to help protect any potential future victims from experiencing the violence and malice that I did. And, you know, so I think yesterday that message was heard and that message was sent. And so this is a step towards preventing, because this is how we prevent, by having a justice system that functions and deals with these crimes. And so if we can deal with them efficiently and we can totally condemn them, then that is a big step towards prevention.
Natasha, listen, thanks a million for speaking to us. Sorry I couldn't meet you face to face.
No worries.
The storm. You're in News Talk Towers and I'm here in KCLR. But listen, we will talk again, I'm sure. know, maybe a part of the story closed, but I'm sure that advocacy work that you've been so engaged in will continue.
Thank you
again for joining us.
There's much more to do, but thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.